would turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. And the title of the message this morning is A Mature Mother. A Mature Mother. I'm going to turn there myself. Remember from last Sunday morning, we had our decoration service and preached a message I entitled The 10,000 Year Church. If you were here last week, you'll remember we talked about the parable of the talents that Christ tells, and he talks about how that the kingdom of God is like a man who calls his servants to him and hands out these talents, these denominations of money, gives out to them, and he gives one of his servants five talents, he gives two talents, and then one of them he gives one talent. And it talks about how they use that amount of money, how they invest it or how they use it. As you know, the one with five doubles it, the one with two doubles it, and the one who receives one talent hides it, buries it. And then when the master comes back after a long period of time, he gives it back to him. We talked about last week how that servant is cursed by the master for being lazy and slothful and not using what was given to him. And we kind of made the correlation of that last week in the message about what we do with what God has given us. He's given us the gospel and he's given us life. What are you doing with your life? We talked about how that the one who took that talent, took that piece of money and buried it, how that he took the easy road. We asked the question last week, are you going to take the easy road with your life, with what God has entrusted you with? Are you going to take the easy road or are you going to take the right road? Because God has called us to work and to labor and to be watchful, waiting for the return of Christ. Most of the people I know who claim to be Christians are not watching for the return of Christ. And when I say watching, I mean they're sitting there watching the eastern sky, but they're laboring, serving in God's kingdom and serving God and serving and sharing the gospel and being a light to others. They're doing that just as Christ told them to do, and you can see it in their life that they are anticipating the return of the Lord or them dying and going to Him, one or the other. But a lot of people are taking the easy road. They're coasting into that finish line and they're going to be sorely disappointed, just like this servant was who showed up with his one talent and had done nothing for the Lord. We talked about last week how that we have to make a decision. Are we going to live for the temporal and the momentary or the eternal and lasting? As I said last week, I'm making my choice and I'm curious who is with me. I'm still curious about that. Who is going to live for the eternal and lasting? I spent my years wasting my life on momentary temporal things that do not matter, and I can't get those years back, but I intend to use the years I have in the future, however many God gives me, for the lasting and eternal things that He's calling me to. And I'm curious who in this church is with me. I don't expect everyone to be with me on that. The majority of people are going to live their life for the temporal things that are fleeting and passing away, and they may even be saved and born again, but they're going to waste their life. I hope you're not in that number. That's a decision you have to make, though. As we look at the message this morning, it's going to tie somewhat into what we talked about last week. But of course, we're talking about Mother's Day this morning. And in Proverbs 31, this is an excellent chapter to read. Especially verse 10 down through 31 talks about mothers. But what I want to read this morning is the last two verses of this in Proverbs 31, verse 30 through 31. And we're going to read that here in just a moment. But when I say a mature mother, When I make that statement, or I quote you that phrase, a mature mother, what comes to mind? When I say a mature mother, what does that bring to mind for you? Let me ask you this, how old is the woman who comes to mind? I would guess, and I may be wrong, but when I talk about a mature mother, you probably think of somebody with some gray hair. You think of a woman that is older, that's up in years. And as I think about that, I think about the maturity of a mother. Tragically, listen close. Tragically today, we associate maturity with being elderly. Tragically, we do that. And the fact that that is true, and I think that if you really think about this, I think we could all agree that that's pretty much true. We attribute maturity with being elderly. I think that right there tells me almost everything that I need to know about our society today. If if you're going to be mature, you have to be an older person. Because we've already given up. We've already just accepted the fact that young people, and I mean young, I mean maybe in their teens, 20s, 30s, maybe 40s, that we just go ahead and accept that people in that age group, they will not be mature. That's a tragedy. The Bible does not assume that, by the way. We do, but the Bible does not. I firmly believe that women of all ages can have wisdom. Women of all ages can have wisdom. Contrary to what we're told today, contrary to what you see today, you know, I think about just one little analogy on this. When John the Baptist was born, who was he born to? A woman named Elizabeth. How old was she? I don't think we're given her exact age, but it says that she was up in years. It was basically a miracle. She was barren. She couldn't have children. She never had children before. She was an elderly woman with an elderly husband. It was a miracle that John the Baptist was born. When God said, I'm going to send John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, I'm going to send him into the world, He sent John the Baptist to an elderly woman, an elderly couple. But who did He choose whenever Christ was born into this world? Jesus Christ. Who did He choose? He chose a very young lady. I think Mary was a teenager. Every teenage girl that's here right now, Mary was a teenager when she gave birth to Jesus. Let me ask you a question. Was she mature? You better believe it. Hey, she was a sinner. She's not perfect. She's a sinner just like you and I are sinners. But she was a mature young woman. Read her response when the angel comes to her. It's not impossible for a young lady, a young woman, to be mature. It's not impossible. Amen. In fact, that's the way it should be. Amen. I want to call the young ladies here, the young mothers here, to maturity. Satan, as we're going to talk about more here in just a minute, do you understand? He has tricked us out of half of our lives. My generation, I'm 35 years old, my generation, it's expected that young men that are my age are still playing video games in their mother's basement waiting to finally grow up. It's expected today. Half their life is gone. Folks, that's a trick. That's deception. It's time to grow up. I told Janet the other day, if I ever preach a baccalaureate service, which I won't, which is a graduation service or a preaching service for high school graduates, I'll never be asked to preach one. But if I did, I'm going to scream into the microphone, grow up! It's adulthood now! 18 means adulthood. Society says otherwise. They're liars. That is deception. You are a grown-up when you graduate high school. You just are. You're either going to do a really poor job as being an adult, or you're going to do well. But you are an adult. It's time to grow up. Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. He's talking about love. But he said that when he was a child, he thought as a child. He acted as a child. He understood as a child. But when he became a man, he put away childish things. We're struggling with that today. Adults. I'm talking about people in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s are struggling with putting away childish things. And it's killing us. And it happens in church too. It's killing us as a church. We can't find mature people today. We can't find people that are stable, that are mature, that have roots, that have some depth to them. We are shallow and immature, and it's everywhere. And folks, I'm not saying this to be critical or to pick people apart. I'm telling you this because it's the truth. And if I say otherwise, I'm part of that deception. We need maturity today. I would encourage the young ladies here, look at the life of Mary, the mother of Jesus. Look at her life as a young 13, 14, 15-year-old girl who God entrusted with the Savior of the world for her to raise that child. Folks, that's a challenge I want to raise to you. I think we've lowered the bar so much it's driving me crazy today. What is acceptable to God? What we think is acceptable to God, acceptable in God's house. Folks, we've lowered the bar so much today. It's killing us. I'm raising it up. And I don't care if every single person has to go under it. I'm raising it up to where God has raised it up to. I expect a lot out of the teenage girls in this church. Is there a problem with that? I expect a lot out of the young men in this church that are teenagers. I expect a lot out of you. And people in their 20s, I expect a lot out of you. People in their 30s and 40s and 50s, I expect a lot out of you. And I will continue to do so. And I will not apologize for it. Folks, we need to grow up. We need to be mature. We need to put away those childish things. Our culture today is so, we are so obsessed with youth. We are the oddballs even in the world today. In China, they see a young person, they don't care what a young person has to say because they're idiots, they don't know anything. They value gray hair. They value wisdom. Not in our culture, though. We value youth. Everybody wants to be young. Everybody wants to be immature and reckless and make bad decisions. We think that we glorify that in our society, and it's absolutely killing us. We've been tricked today. Folks, it is possible for young women to be mature and to have wisdom. I really believe that. You can call me insane if you want to. You can call me crazy if you want to, but I really believe that. It is very possible for a young woman to be wise and mature and to make good decisions. And folks, that's what I want to see happen. It is possible, but it's also very rare. You know how rare it is. Proverbs 31 celebrates womanhood. And it is a glorious thing. Womanhood is a glorious thing. Manhood is a glorious thing. But I want you to understand that today that's being lost. Can anybody hear me okay? Is this picking up okay? Do I need to scream louder? Okay. I'm just kidding. Womanhood is being lost today. It's eroding away. In our gender dysphoric and gender confused society, we are losing womanhood and we are losing manhood. Today we are buying the lie that for a woman to be successful and strong, she needs to become a man. We're believing that lie. That's a lie. That is a lie. Read Proverbs 31. It talks about a woman who is smart, she's shrewd, she's strong, she works, she's never idle, and she is a woman. She's not trying to be her husband. She is a woman. She's not trying to be a man. She is a strong, successful, shrewd, hardworking woman. And it's a glorious thing. Amen. We're told today that we need to ignore gender distinctions. How irrational and insane can you possibly get? We're being tricked today. And I will declare from this pulpit, wherever I go, there is a deception that is underway. We are being tricked today and being told there's no difference in genders. There certainly is, and everybody in this room knows it. Everyone in this world knows it. There is a difference between men and women, and it's almost embarrassing to have to say that. But I have to say it. There is a difference between men and women. There is a difference between manhood and womanhood. They are both glorious, but they are different. They're different. And it's good that they're different. God created them different. He did that with a purpose. There's an obvious reality that men and women are different. And the reason that we are different because together we most fully display the image and the glory of God as He created us, male and female. That was God's idea. Womanhood was God's idea. Manhood was God's idea. And we're telling Him today, your ideas are terrible, our ideas are better, and don't think that won't have consequences. We're losing the image of God and the glory of God as we lose gender distinctions today. I can't even believe what I'm watching. I can't even believe what I'm hearing. I can't control what happens outside of here. Really, I can't control what happens in here. But I will declare, there may be a complete blindness and a deafness to the truth outside of here, but here, let us have some wisdom. Let us have some clarity aside to say, this is the truth. This is the light. That's darkness. That's deception. We're going to go with the truth. Folks, our manhood and womanhood, being male and female, those two together, that's the way God created us. He created us male and female to most fully display and manifest the image and the glory of God. And everything comes down to the glory of God. Everything. either God will be honored or He will be dishonored. One or the other. He will be glorified or He will be disgraced by how we conduct ourselves and by what we do. But God will retrieve His glory one way or the other. Because those who dishonor God with their lives, they will give an account for that, and you will see the judgment of God upon that dishonoring life. God will be glorified one way or the other. Either through judgment or through forgiveness and glory as a person lives out the way God has created us to live. The way God has designed us. Everything will be set right eventually, but today it's all about the glory of God, whether He is being honored or dishonored in our life and how we conduct ourselves. I say all that this morning to come to Proverbs 31, come into verse 30 through 31. If you would stand in honor of God's Word as we read this together. Proverbs 31, verse 30 through 31. As I said earlier, I would encourage you, go back this afternoon, read verse 10 through 31. That talks about the gloriousness of a virtuous woman. And there is a gloriousness to womanhood that can be achieved. But I want to read these last two verses here of this chapter. Listen close to what this says. Favor is deceitful. You may look at me this morning and say, Jordan, what are you ranting about now? You know, I've been talking to Jenna about this. I'm afraid that what I say, nobody's listening to me. I've been at this church for 20 years. That's a concern I have right now. I'm afraid that no matter what I say or how I say it, you guys aren't listening. That puts me in a bad spot. Can you still hear me? You've heard me preach probably, man, I don't know, probably 500 messages. The youth, people in my youth class, you've heard me teach probably 2,000 lessons. Has my voice just become background noise? You know the implications if it has? I can't be the pastor here. You've got to hear what comes from it, this pulpit. I hope you're listening. I feel like a lot of times what I say falls on deaf ears. That's just Jordan. That's just Jordan. I'm not in my whole life. That's just Jordan going on one of his rants. I joke about that somewhat, but folks, I'm not joking. Please listen to what I'm saying. I know I'm just Jordan. And I want to be just Jordan. I want to be part of this congregation. I want you to feel familiar with me. I want to have a relationship with you. But if that becomes a point where you don't listen to what I say anymore, I have to go. And someone has to come to whom you'll listen. And maybe I can go somewhere where people will listen to what I have to say. Folks, there's an old saying that says, familiarity breeds contempt. If you know me so well, you just say, well, he's just going on again. Folks, if that's what my messages are reduced to, I got to preach them somewhere else. That's the seriousness of what I'm talking about. I want to be the pastor of this church for 50 years. But that's not just up to me. And you know what? That's not just up to God. That's up to you too. Folks, don't let what I say fall on deaf ears. Please. That's why I'm mentioning this. That's why I'm saying this. Don't let this fall on deaf ears. Please. Don't listen to just the one who's saying it. You know that Jesus Christ Himself fell victim to this? How many miracles did He do in Nazareth? He said a prophet is not without honor except amongst his own family, his own people. That is true. We have to be on guard against that. Are you on guard against that with me? I hope you are. I hope you are. Folks, listen to what I'm saying this morning. I'm begging you. Listen to what I'm saying. Don't just hear me and say, well, that's just Jordan ranting again. Listen to what God's Word is saying and allow it to transform your life. That's my goal. And if I can't do that, folks, I got to do something different. I really do. And I'm as sincere as I can be about that. Listen to what this Word says. Favor is deceitful. Do you understand? I'm not just up here ranting and going on. There is a deception to which you will fall victim. And probably the majority of people in this room have already fallen victim to it. There is a deception. God's Word says that. Not just me. God's Word says, when I say we are losing womanhood, we're losing manhood, God's Word says the same. Favor is deceitful. You can be deceived. You can miss the whole thing if you're not careful. Favor is deceitful. Favor means flattery. Charm are deceitful things. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Amen. There's a certainty to it. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Let's, Lord, in prayer together. Father, thank You, Lord, for this morning. Thank You for Your Word. God, what an awesome promise is being laid down in front of us. An enormous, eternal, tremendous reward is being laid on the table. God, help every woman in this room to see it, to see it as a goal, something that can be achieved, something that can be obtained. This goal and this promise, this reward that You've just listed us here in Proverbs 31, through the pen of Solomon, God, through the wisest man that ever lived outside of Your Son, Jesus Christ. This reward is laid on the table this morning. I wonder who will take it, who will properly value it, or who will walk right past it and not even notice it and miss it forever. God, help us, Lord, to have clarity of mind, of sight this morning. God, help us to prioritize correctly. We really, really struggle with this. Help us to prioritize our life and what matters and what doesn't, what is important and what is unimportant. God, we really struggle with this. Help us to see it this morning, even if it's for the first time. God, help us to see the truth of Your Word. That, God, it is possible for women to be wise and mature, for even young women to be wise and mature. God, I pray that we could see that this morning, that we could not just see it and believe it, but to apply it and to experience it in our life. God, there is a goal. We're not just going through the motions this morning. There is a point to what we're doing this morning. There is a goal to be achieved or to be completely missed, one or the other. Help us to take these things to heart this morning. The women here, the mothers here, but also the men, also the fathers, that it applies to all of us, no exception. Thank You for Your Word and thank You for this time together. Lord, allow Your Spirit to move, to shake us, to wake us up this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Do you see in this verse that there is a goal, a praise of God that can either be gained or lost? There is something substantial at stake. There is an eternal praise of God that can be obtained. How can it be obtained? What does it say? But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Amen. This praise, this eternal praise, do you understand this is permanent? To the woman, to the mother that goes after this, pursues this godly womanhood through the fear of the Lord, the respect and honor of God. The woman that pursues this, when she gains this reward, she has it forever, eternally. It is an eternal crown. It is an eternal treasure, an eternal reward. That's why I'm so passionate about what I'm talking about this morning. If you can get it... I need a Kleenex here, Jenna. Hand me one. If you can get your hands on what we're talking about here, if you can seize this, thank you. You can have it eternally. But if you miss it, you will miss it eternally. I say this because I know women who traded their motherhood for something else. And it's gone. It's gone. Gone. They cannot get it back. They made a choice. They'll live with that choice. They'll die with that choice. And they'll spend eternity with that choice. You know, they can experience forgiveness. You're here this morning, and God gave you this tremendous blessing of motherhood, and you squandered it and you wasted it. God will forgive you for that. But you won't get it back, though. You'll receive the forgiveness of God. God, the blood of Christ can cover everything we've ever done, every sin, including wasting something as glorious, with such potential as motherhood. Even if you waste that, God will forgive you for that, but you will not get it back. You go find a mother that, and I'll use an obvious example, let's say a mother that fell victim to alcoholism, and she traded those years, 5 years old, 10 years old, 15 years old, 18 years old, 20 years old, those years are gone. Her kids are now grown. She's now sober. She has called upon the name of the Lord, asked God to forgive her for her alcoholism, for her drunkenness, to forgive her, and God did it that second. She's forgiven. Forgiven of her sin. It's glorious. God forgives and He redeems. And at that moment, she can begin to work on that relationship with her grown children. But she will absolutely never get those years back. They are gone. Because that's why I'm passionate. I'm talking to young people. Make wise decisions in your teens. In your 20s. Even as a child, make wise decisions. Because if you don't, you lose those years. You lose those years. Of course, Christ can forgive and He can redeem and those relationships can be restored. And I know people that, man, a father or a mother who squandered those years, those childhood years, and they spent the rest of their life, they spent decades as their children are adults working and rebuilding that relationship. And that relationship has healed to an extent. But understand, those years are gone though. Those previous years are still gone. I want you to get the full picture today, folks. You may be sitting here as an older person saying, Jordan, you're beating me to death with this. That's not my intention. But I see some young faces down here. Do you not think that I need to warn them to not make the same mistake? To not lose those years? Folks, those years are so precious. Don't waste them. Amen. You cannot get them back. Jesus Christ Himself cannot give you those years back. Because time flows in one direction and we're bound by time. God's not, but we are. And we can't go back in time. That's why this morning's... Do you understand this morning's message? It's urgent. This is an urgent message. Because another week's going to pass between now and next Sunday. And then another week and another week. Do you know what a wasted life is? You know what a wasted life consists of? Wasted weeks. Wasted days. Folks, this is urgent. Do you know how short your life is? Do you have any earthly idea how short your life is? You don't. And I don't. Folks, it's like it goes by. It's a vapor. It's here for a little while and it vanishes away. Please take that seriously. While you're sitting here trying to make your little mind up, your life's gone. You need to make a decision. I don't mean you need to make a decision at some point in your adult life. I mean this morning. You have to make a decision. You're running out of time. Your life will be over and you will not get it back. Saved though you may be, you will not get it back. Folks, there is a goal, there is a praise, there is a treasure, there is a reward to be gained or lost. And I'm speaking to the women here, especially in this chapter, in the context of this, to the mothers and to the women within this congregation. It's true for men as well, in manhood and in fatherhood. But this Scripture is talking about a woman, a godly woman, can receive a treasure and an eternal praise of God. Through fear and respect and honor of the Lord. You know what? You know how you fear and respect and honor God? You believe what He says in this book. If you fear the Lord, you'll believe what He's told you. If you don't believe this and you don't apply this, you do not fear the Lord. You don't care what He says. Actions speak louder than words. Don't tell me what you believe. Show me what you believe. If you believe this book, you will apply it. Every bit of it, including whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you believe that? I believe that. Because I fear the Lord. And He told me that, and I believe it. And so at 10 years old, I called upon the name of the Lord, and He saved my soul. And I thank God He did. I'm more thankful every day for the fact that God saved me at 10 years old. I'm so glad I was saved at 10 and not 35. Because I'd be in a lot of trouble today. There'd be a lot of damage done that I could never repair if God had not caught me at a young age. Thank God that He did. Bible school's coming up. How important is it? We have a meeting today after the service for Bible school. You tell me how important it is. Catch kids when they're young before they make those enormous life decisions that they cannot unmake. Folks, I'm convicted about this. I'm convicted about this. I hope you share my conviction because it comes from this book. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. There is an eternal praise for the women within this congregation this morning, for the mothers that are here. through fear and respect and honor of the Lord. But at the same time, it can also be missed and lost forever. How can it be missed? I would describe it like this: by distractions. You can be distracted and miss this opportunity, miss this reward. Listen to what it says there in verse 30. Favor is deceitful. As I said earlier, that's talking about pursuing favor or charm or flattery. Worrying about the approval of others. Does any woman here struggle with that? Worrying about the approval of others and ignoring what's most important. That's a distraction. You see, Satan doesn't have to destroy you. He just has to distract you. And the clock keeps going. And time keeps ticking. He can run the clock out. That's an old strategy in sports. You can run the clock out. That's what Satan can do. He can just distract you with stupid little frivolous things. And I'm telling you, we really struggle with this today. He can distract you with stupid, frivolous things that don't matter at all. Before you know it, your life's gone. Your opportunity to be a mother, to be a parent is gone. Your marriage is gone. Your life is gone. Everything's gone. And when you look back over your life, what do you have to show for it? Nothing. It's just frivolous. You fluttered your life away. Folks, you don't get a second chance at this. Distractions. Pursuing things that don't matter, like favor, or charm, or flattery. The approval of other people. Or pursuing beauty. As it says there, and beauty is vain. You know why it's vain? Because it's fleeting. It's fleeting. Folks, you're going to get older. Your body's going to change. Your face is going to change. There is no fountain of youth. You can't retain your youth. You cannot do it. Don't fall for that. Don't trust in your beauty or your appearance and this outward appearance, all these other things. We are so consumed with these things that don't matter, and they're going to fade away no matter what we do. Pursuing beauty, which is vain, it's temporal, it's fleeting. Folks, as I say this, I believe, and I've heard many other people say the same thing, how can you argue with it? We are the most distracted society in the history of the world. We are the most distracted society in Jesus' day. Yeah, there were distractions then. In Solomon's day, as he's writing this, there were distractions then, but nothing like today. We are in such danger and peril of our entire life just being stolen away through distractions and wasted time. Folks, I hope your guard is up. I hope you're thinking clearly this morning. How did you spend your last week? What substantial thing happened in your life over the last week? Or is it just another week? Going through the motions, waking up, getting the kids ready, going to work, coming home, watching some TV, looking on Facebook. Another day's gone. Another day's gone. Another day's gone. Another day's gone. Folks, I hope you can wake up this morning. I hope I can wake up this morning and see what matters. We have to make a decision. What matters and what doesn't. We are the most distracted generation to ever live. And women and mothers of this generation can easily trade everything for nothing. Here is everything I have, and I'm going to trade it away and receive nothing in return. That transaction happens every single day. It's happening constantly. We are trading years of our life, trading our days for nothing. That's what's happening. And you can pretty well guess who it is who's making the exchange. Satan is showing us something shiny, and we're saying, "Ooh, I want that," and we take it. What do I have to give up to get that? And he says, "You know, just this. This doesn't matter. This is unimportant. Trade this," and we trade it, and we get junk in return. We trade that which is valuable for that which is worthless, and we make that trade all day long. It's happening constantly. Through godly, biblical womanhood and motherhood, an eternal reward is available, an eternal treasure. But you can get tricked out of that reward. You can be tricked out of that reward for frivolous things like materialism. How nice is your house? How nice is your car? How nice are your clothes? How nice is your jewelry? Can I please speak to you right now and just tell you something that's very important you need to know? Nobody cares! Nobody cares how nice your car is, how nice your house is, how nice your clothes are, how nice your jewelry is. It doesn't matter. Not compared to what really does matter. Are you living for God? Are you a godly woman or a godly young woman? Are you a godly woman? Are you a godly mother? That matters. This other stuff doesn't matter. We've been tricked. We are materialistic today. We worry so much about things that do not matter. It's frustrating to watch, I'll be honest with you. Hey, I used to be the world's worst. I used to worry so much about things, about the clothes I wore to school, the car I drove, what kind of house I lived in, if people were impressed with me or not. And I realized what a fool I was. I was such a fool. I can't get those years back. How embarrassing. I'm embarrassed by how I prioritize my life from about the age of, I'd say 10 years old to about the age of 20. It's embarrassing to look back on that. I cannot believe that that is what I prioritize in my life. That I was getting all this garbage and I was trading everything that was valuable and important. You ever been ripped off before? You ever buy a car or buy something, and buy a gun, buy whatever it is. You buy something, you realize you've been ripped off. I hate that feeling. And the more money I spent, the worse I feel. If I spent $5 and get ripped off, no big deal. I spend $500, it's embarrassing, isn't it? You don't want to tell people how much you paid for a car that's having to have work done on it all the time. Nobody likes to be ripped off. Folks, we're getting ripped off every day. We're trading that which is valuable for that which is worthless every single day. You can be tricked out of that reward. For frivolous things like materialism, like gossip, you only get so many words a day. What are you talking about during the day? Men gossip too. It's not just women. I may call it different things, but folks, are you wasting the time you have to talk to other people? Are you wasting with just gossip? With just empty words, things that don't even matter? Maybe things that are even hurtful to other people? Folks, again, you know what a wasted life consists of? One wasted conversation after another. The whole life's gone, eventually. Things like addictions, pills, alcohol, Facebook, television. We can make that trade for selfish things. Worrying about your own self-image more than worrying about other people. And not what they think, but worrying about taking care of other people, helping other people. Loving your neighbor as yourself. We don't worry about those things. We're still worried about our own self-image, about what people think about us. Worry and anxiety. You worry a lot? You know, the Bible condemns worrying. When you worry, it says you're not... The Bible tells us we're not trusting God. He asked the question. Jesus asked the question. He says, who among you by worrying... And I worry as much as probably anybody in this room. I'm guilty of this. Who here by worrying can add 1 inch to your height? You can worry your life away. How much good does it do you? Isn't worry, all the anxiety, all the stress, all the worry that we have, what's that worth in the long run? Not one penny. It's worthless. But we allow our minds to be stolen away through worries and anxieties and things we can do nothing about. And all the time we could be thinking upon glorious eternal things, sharing those eternal things. Folks, we're making some terrible trades every day. Folks, this happens every day. It's like witnessing a robbery in progress. Imagine driving by somebody's house and they're moving or they're taking things out of the house and you realize that's not their stuff. And every valuable thing, the televisions, the microwaves, the computer, all these valuable things are being carried out and you realize that's not their stuff. And you're witnessing a robbery. Womanhood and motherhood is being stolen today. Manhood and fatherhood is being stolen today. Entire lives are being stolen. A day at a time. A decision at a time. And here's the thing about it. It's not stolen by force. You realize that somebody is being robbed and they're carrying these things out, carrying out the TV. Well, the person who owns the TV is carrying the other end of the TV and helping them load it. and waving at them as they drive away with their stuff. It's not being stolen by force. It's not at gunpoint. They're being tricked out of them. It's being stolen by deception. They're being ripped off. Trading something of eternal value for something of no value. I'm going to use an example here. Jake, I'm going to have you get the door for me so I can get back in and don't get locked out. Bear with me for just a second. Thank you. I got a question for you this morning. What's this worth? What's this worth? I've been offered a trade. I can trade this for this. Should I make the trade? Look how small this is. That can't be maybe 1 or 2 ounces. This is like 25 pounds. I'm breathing hard from carrying it over here. Look at how much I've got here. Look what I've got in my hand. Look at how large this is. Who's the fool that would not trade this for this? Does that sound stupid? This couldn't be more than maybe 10 or 20 ounces. Why would I not make that trade? Folks, do you understand? As stupid as that looks, I'm saying, oh great. Do you have any more, Janet? Give me your ring. Do you have any more of this? Oh, we've got entire containers of it out here. All day long. Wow. Look what I got. Smelly, decaying garbage for gold. If you saw me make that trade, you would probably intervene and say, what are you doing? You would probably go to the person, if a child or somebody or some young person, maybe somebody without full mental capacities, if somebody tried to trick them like that, what would you do? Folks, I'm not exaggerating. It's happening all day long. People are taking this and they're trading this. And I'm watching it. And it's hard to watch. And I'm saying, what are you doing? You're trading what is of extreme value, thousands of dollars per ounce, for garbage. But look how much of it there is. Look how heavy. Look, that's 20 pounds. This is a few ounces. We don't reason. We don't value their outweigh. Thank you, Jake. I'm going to leave that there. You may say, well, Jordan, that's an insane... You know what? I'm willing to do whatever it takes for you to remember this. I want you to remember what I'm saying. We hear these things. We're like, as it talks about the book of James, we're like a man who looks at himself in the mirror and walks away and forgets who he is. We do the same thing. You come in here and you hear these things. But sometimes, you know what? Parables were about when Jesus told them, it was to try to wake people up. Do you know that, what was it, Isaiah, I think, or was it Ezekiel? God said, lay on one side for, what was it, 3 years or something crazy? Somebody help me out with that. I can't remember. Okay, anyway. I want to say maybe it was Ezekiel. God told him to lay on one side for a long period of time. I want to say maybe it's like a 3-year period of time. Every day he would go out and lay on one side. It's like, what's this weirdo doing? He was doing it to try to wake up the nation of Israel, wake up the nation of Judah, to say, pay attention to what God's saying. Folks, I'm willing to do the same thing if we can wake up and understand and remember what's being said. Folks, because of our immaturity, we do not value things properly. As I point out this bag of trash and this ring on my finger, in one sense, if I'm going strictly by weight, which is the better deal? Well, that is. That weighs probably 200, 300, 400 times what this does if I'm measuring by weight. But is that how I should measure things? No, we value things by how much it's worth, by what it's made of, by what its contents are. And because of that, this little bitty ring that I'm holding in my hand is worth 1,000 times, 10,000, 100,000 times what that bag of garbage is worth. How do you value things? In our immaturity, we value things incorrectly. And that's how we can be tricked. That's how we can be fooled. You can trick a little kid out of something very valuable for something worthless because they're immature and they don't know any better. Our immaturity today is causing us to be robbed blind of what matters. Folks, God gives us His book. This book right here will tell you. This is the standard. It will tell you what is valuable and what is worthless. If you come up with your own system, you will get ripped off. He tells us what matters and what is valuable. And you know what we've read this morning? You know what's valuable? Strong, godly, biblical womanhood. God has said, it is worth gold. Satan says, I've got some entertainment over here. I've got some things to pass the time. Some time wasters. I've got some things over here. I've got some materialism over here. Having the nicest car for now. 10 years from now, it'll be the worst car. You have to buy it again. You get into this cycle of trying to always have the best things. He's got that over here for us. God says, I've got biblical, strong, biblical, godly womanhood. Strong, biblical, godly motherhood. And it's available to you. Which one are you going to take? God gives us His book so we can see things for their true value. So we can see what is valuable and what is worthless. I rant about this all the time. We're closing with this. Do you understand? If we do not prioritize correctly, we lose everything. The game is over before it begins if we do not prioritize correctly. Christ said at one time, what is the number one priority? He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Amen. And all these things will be added unto you. We are doing the opposite today, and it is going to end in tragedy. We have to prioritize properly, or we're going to lose everything. The game will be over before it ever even begins if our priorities are out of order. Where are your priorities at this morning? Folks, as we get a song this morning, we, listen to me closely, we need wise mothers today. They're in extremely short supply. We need wise mothers, regardless of their age. We need mature women and mothers who can grow up and know what matters and what doesn't. Are you one of those? Or have you made foolish trades, foolish exchanges, time and time and time and time and time and time again? We need wise mothers today. We need mature mothers, wise women, mature women. We need wise and mature men today. Wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. You have to do things His way, or you're going to be made a fool of, and you'll be made a fool of eternally. Do you believe God's Word? Is this valuable? Do you understand when I ask you the question, is God's revelation and Word, is this valuable? When I ask you that, I'm not judging the value of this. I'm not examining this, I'm examining you. I'm asking, how wise are you? Folks, I can take something that I know is worth an enormous amount of money and I can go to some collector and say, how much would you guess this is worth? And I can test their knowledge. How wise are you? That's what I'm doing to you this morning. How valuable is this? How valuable is God's Word? How valuable is God's revelation? It's not a test of this book, it's a test of you. It's a test of me. Do we see this as valuable? If we don't, it's on us. It's not on this book. This book is valuable. It is infinitely valuable. This is infinitely valuable information. And Christians all day long will say, yes, that's true, and they don't even read it. If you're a mother, you better read this book. If you're here as a young woman, or here as a woman, you need to read this book. As a man, you need to read this book. As a father, you need to read this book. If you think you can do it without it, you're going to find out otherwise. As we stand and sing this morning, folks, we need maturity today, and we do not have it. We do not have it. As we stand and sing...